So good to see everybody tonight. Hope and pray that you had a good day today. It has been, I think, a good day in the Lord. Always the first day of the week is a blessing. And to be together, have the opportunity that we've had to think about our God and to praise and worship Him today, I hope that you've been encouraged by the things that we've done. It's been good to be a Christian today. It always is. Every day is a blessing. And we're thankful for that. Thankful for your presence here tonight and appreciate you being here with us. I want to just mention before we begin our lesson tonight a couple of things about Sister Anita Foster. Anita had been here with us maybe for a couple of months. She moved from Tucson, Arizona up to this area and recently placed membership with us here. Anita unfortunately had some very difficult circumstances with her family, some challenges with her situation here in Denver, and had to very quickly return to Tucson. So I heard from her today. She's doing well. I have her phone number for those of you that would like that and would like to reach out to Anita and encourage her. I think she needs that encouragement. She's certainly had a struggle of late, and some of you know about that a little more than others, but it'd be good to give her a call and check up on her. So if you'd like to do that, please see me. I've got that number with me tonight. In Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 18, Solomon said, "Because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks." The Scriptures, so many times, they're replete with instructions to us about being active, about being productive people in this world. If your life was represented as a house, based on what Solomon said there in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 18, how would you describe it? If your life was represented as a house, based on that passage, how would you describe that house? Is it in somewhat disrepair? Perhaps. Maybe it's not very firm and not very sound like it ought to be. Or maybe it is. Maybe you are active and productive and doing well and you see that house is flourishing. The Scriptures give a lot of parallels like that for us. And one of them we find in the book of Proverbs tonight. I want for us to kind of focus in on a particular proverb in Proverbs 6. This morning we talked about ducks. Tonight I want to talk about ants. Now, if you're still struggling to find those ducks in 2 Kings 5, please see me afterwards. I'll help you with that. Took a lot of artistic license this morning, and some pointed that out to me. But tonight I want for us to look at the book of Proverbs in chapter 6 of that book and learn some things I hope that might encourage us as we're going out into our world this week. You know, my brothers and I, when we were kids, we used to make our own fireworks. And those were not usually to shoot up into the air, but rather to stick into the ground and to blow up anthills. That's what we did with them. We made our own. We got creative with that sometimes. We would get fireworks and just dump them into toilet paper rolls and make all kinds of very dangerous things that we shouldn't have in order to eradicate the ant population around our house. But despite our best efforts, despite all the things that we did in order to get rid of those things, they kept coming back. And sometimes they would just rebuild the same hill, or sometimes they would just relocate about 2 feet over and they'd build again. And amazing little creatures as we think about their ability to persevere and to continue. I love nature programs. I love the distinct characteristics of all of God's creatures and what He has created. And I think I've probably watched all of the nature shows that Netflix has to offer. Love that stuff. One great creature that we can encounter on some of those programs is the ant. Now, we use certain characteristics of animals that kind of jump out at us to kind of describe what that animal is. We say as sly as a fox. We might say as mean as a snake, or what are some other ones? As wise as an owl, as happy as a lark. You know, you can go down the list of different things that you can say, as busy as a bee. But we would, the scripture maybe wouldn't say busy as a bee, but it would say busy as an ant. And an ant is held up for us in high regard as to the kind of quality of life that we ought to live and the kind of activities that we should be involved with. Ants are exemplary in the labor department. They are industrious and amazing and survivors, and they keep on keeping on. And maybe that's why in Proverbs 6 we find this emphasis by the proverb writer, the great wise man. He says this in this passage, "Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." I want for us to just for a few minutes look at this little creature and see some things in it as we go to the ant and think about the kind of work it does and how that it accomplishes that work. First thing I'd like to suggest to you is that ants overcome very great odds in order to do what they do. And it's incredible what they can accomplish in overcoming some of the obstacles that they do. You know, the ants that I'm familiar with are not like the ones that you see in horror movies that are great, scary creatures. They're little bitty things. They're tiny, little, insignificant things. But yet those tiny, little, insignificant things, for their size, are quite powerful. Most of the pictures I'll show you tonight are pictures that I have taken in Mexico because there's a lot of ants in the jungle, and I'm always amazed by them. But they can carry great things even though they're relatively insignificant little creatures. These leafcutter ants are all over the place in South America, and they can carry up to 50 times their weight. And you see them all over the place over there. And it's impressive to see what they can do. Very small, but able to accomplish very great things. That being said, you match one of them up with just about virtually any other animal and they'll get destroyed. And you never see an ant carrying off a cat to the anthill. You see them carrying a little leaf or something like that, or a little piece of a moth or a beetle or something like that. But it's remarkable what they can do for their size, and they overcome very great obstacles. Reptiles, birds, other creatures, men with their fireworks, other things like that, that they're just able to keep on keeping on. You know, Paul was like that. The Apostle Paul was like that. You look at his life and you see that characteristic in him. And think about some of the things that he went through. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 22 through 28. And the kind of perseverance that Paul displayed on so many occasions. You know, when Paul was expelled from Antioch, he went to Iconium. At Iconium, they attempted to abuse and stone him, and so he went on from there to Lystra. At Lystra, they did stone him, and they left him for dead, so he went on to Derbe from there. And it was just one after another, and then he turned right back around and went back through those same cities. It's incredible perseverance that he showed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 22 through 28, we see that quality in him. He says, "Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In deaths, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. Can you see what this guy, the quality of his life, that he just keeps going and going and going, and nothing is going to get in his way. And he keeps coming back. And he perseveres, and he goes through one thing, and then he continues and goes through something else. What a remarkable character that he was. Why is it that a headache or a stubbed toe keeps us from doing what God would have us to do? Paul's an example to us that despite the impediments and despite the obstacles, great things can be accomplished. Ants are very good at working together. Working together for the common good. And sometimes those ants, there's another picture that I took when I was over there, that sometimes they can't handle a particular thing themselves, and so they'll call in reinforcements, and they'll have some other ants to come and to help them with what they cannot move themselves. That when something is beyond their ability, they will find help in order to get that job done. You know, we need to go to the ant. We need to go to the ant because a lot of times our thought process is not the same. Our thought process is, well, I don't want for anyone to see my weakness. I don't want anybody to know that I can't do it by myself. And that's the quality that we're encouraged not to have in the Scriptures, but to seek out that help that we need. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, that's the kind of attitude that we ought to have. To seek to help, to seek to carry one another's burdens. Galatians 6 and verse 2, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Back in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 and 14, he says, I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off. Verse 12, verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We need to work despite the odds. And the odds are great. There are few that are chosen. Folks, we're small in this world. The only way that we can accomplish great things is to work together. Is to be like the ant, to go to the ant, to see that work ethic and what he can accomplish in those things. And compared to the world, we're grasshoppers. We're ants in their sight. Not very significant. But by the help of God, we can accomplish good things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 and through 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 through 31. Most of us are rather ordinary people. And Paul talks about those kinds of people in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26. He says, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. When you think that you can't make a difference, and when you think that you can't continue going on and you can't let your light shine, go to the end. Remember what he says here in this passage, that he's chosen the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. We see that in that passage. You know, one thing that was pointed out in Proverbs chapter 6 is that ants do great work without having constant pressure on them, without having any ruler or overseer He says they're doing great work and that they're able to accomplish great things. Now, I've never seen in my looking at ants a slave driving ant on the side cracking the whip and causing the other ants to fall in line and to obey. They just do it. There's a line going this way, and here are all these ants, and they're going in the same direction, and then coming back, there's another line, and they're just doing what it is that they are supposed to do. They are created for that work, and they're designed to an active pace. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we're designed more like an ant than a sloth, although sometimes we don't act that way. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are God's workmanship. We are created in Him for a purpose. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We should strive to be that way. That there doesn't constantly have to be somebody on us, somebody pressuring us, somebody cracking the whip at us, and that's not the preacher's job or the elder's jobs. But it's our job to just do the will of God, to be active and participating, go to the ants, see that kind of work ethic that we ought to have. And we see that in the New Testament Christians that have that kind of constancy and that kind of continuance and that kind of effort that constantly was made. We see that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 with regular study and fellowship and meeting together, that constancy that they had. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's the way that we ought to be. And we need to go to the ant. We need to do that sincerely because we love the Lord. Not because that we're under duress all the time. And that's not what we want to communicate at all. But we love the Lord, and out of a sense of duty, we serve the Redeemer. You know, not all of us have the same talents and abilities, the same qualities. We have different talents. We have different abilities. Some of us more capable in some things than others. Some of us have greater skills in certain areas than others. And ants accomplish great work because I think they understand that. Because they have specialized things that they do. And they all have their jobs. They all have things that they're built for, that they're made for. And maybe they hone in on those skills and they become better and better at them. Some of them have a special mandible that can do things. Others have certain claws. Some are bigger than others. Some are more militant than others because of their size. Some are drones. Some are workers. You know, there's all kinds of different roles that they have. Some are nest builders and others are better at digging and things like that. I don't know that any of them are unhappy about that. I never see them holding up picket signs and complaining about the fact that they've got to do this particular job. You know, they're in this together. And look at what they can do. I don't know if you've seen this before, but there's a remarkable video that shows some folks that decided that they would take an enormous anthill that they found out in a field somewhere and that they would pour concrete down into it and see what was underneath the surface. And so they poured this liquid down in there. I think it was 10 tons of concrete that they forced down into this anthill. And what they found was this. And a remarkable underground metropolis of tunnels and holding cells and, you know, all of this huge area. And you can tell how big that is by the people that are doing this work on this thing. That's what ants can do. That's what that little insignificant, little nothing can do when it comes together with others who desire the same thing and have the same mind, that are like-minded and serving together in this way. What a remarkable thing that can be accomplished. And some of these are 100 feet wide. And sometimes they pour liquid metal into them and things like that. It's remarkable what they're doing underground. But I remember in going to Mexico and seeing one of these, basically the same thing, on the top of the ground with lots of different exit holes and entrance ways, and these things scattered over what seemed like was about a half an acre, just an enormous area where these little bitty ants would bring their leaves that they would cut, and they would bring them into this fortress. And actually those leaves are not eaten. They take those leaves and they make a fungus bed out of them, and that's how they grow their food. So it's gardening material. But this is what they do. They're constantly working. They're constantly about the business of survival. They're about the work that they need to do in order to see to the future, to see to something better, and to grow. And that's what they're about. And they're constantly entering and exiting and carrying back and forth and doing this work. And Christians ought to be like that. Go to the ant. See what wonderful things he accomplishes. That little bitty creature. And all of the different roles that are fulfilled in that. Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 15 through 20. This is the way that we ought to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 15 through 20. And we'll begin in verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Again, over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16, that same principle is pointed out by Paul again. Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16. We all have roles to play, ladies and gentlemen. We all have parts in this work. Some are more visible than others. Some are more invisible. Some are public and talent that is public in nature, and other that's very private. And other that you don't know about. And I may not know about. There's some wonderful things going on in this congregation privately. Things that people are doing that are so encouraging just when we do get an inkling and hear about those things. Ephesians 4 and verse 15, he says, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The point is that we're all doing. The point is that the whip is not being cracked for us to do that. We do that because we love the Lord. We do that because we want to work in this body. And it's a rewarding experience for us to do that, to carry one another's burdens, to go to the ant and understand that's the spirit that we ought to have. One more thing I want to point out, and that is that ants work together and accomplish great things harmoniously. They notify each other of danger. They communicate with one another. I don't know how they do that. I didn't look into that. But I know that they do. There's one occasion when I was walking through the jungle there in Mexico in the first part of the day, and there were just thousands and thousands of ants. You could see these leaves just moving through the jungle. Absolutely incredible. Went into one of the brothers' houses to eat, and then came back out around noontime, and there wasn't a single ant to be seen, but all of their leaves were in the same place that they had decided to drop them, and they had all gone off at the same time. I don't know how they got the message, but they did. I don't know if they passed that down the line and communicated that from one to another, or what the method was. But there was this unity and harmony, and they all just disappeared at the same time. Absolutely remarkable. That's the kind of relationship that we ought to have. That we're exhorted to unity, to the mind of Christ, to work together for the good of the whole body. There's been some research done about these little creatures, and one of the things that they found, and they studied especially some particular ants with transparent stomachs. And what they did was they put some blue dye into some syrup, and then those little ants proceeded to eat the syrup. And what they discovered was that before too long, every single one of the ants that they opened up, or rather that they looked at their transparent stomachs, every one of them had the blue dye in their stomach. And so what they discovered was is that these ants had social stomachs. They were sharing with the other ants what they ingested and took in. And shouldn't that describe, that's kind of gross to think about. Sorry about that mental picture, but that's essentially the idea. There's some beauty in that. In that's how we ought to be. That we're in this together. That we're looking to each one's needs. That we understand that we share in the things of the Lord. This beautiful illustration of being fellow workers. We're in this together. And so the one that stays back and has a different role is still being fed. What a great picture that is. We need to go to the ant. We need to learn from this great creature as to what it does. If we ingest the Word of Life, we need to share it. We need to share that with one another. We need to share that with those in the world. What an impressive little animal this is. Turn back at Proverbs chapter 6. Let's read again. And take this with us as we enter into our week. When we are tempted to laziness physically, when we are tempted to laziness spiritually, to take a look at this creature and change our ways. And that's what the Proverb writer desires that we do. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. May God help us to be active, working members in His kingdom, to do His will this week, and to seek out the ways that we can serve in that great kingdom and accomplish His will. God help us to do that. Perhaps there's someone here tonight that would be desirous of being a part of the kingdom of God. It's such a wonderful family. There's no family like it, no physical family like it. Jesus recognized that when He talked about, who are my mother and my brothers but those that do the will of my Father? That's what was important to Him, most important to Him. Maybe there's someone here tonight that desires to be a Christian. We certainly want to help you with that. Why don't you come? While we stand.